This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you and praise you for honoring us with the invitation to your feast of life. And we pray, Lord, that you will open our eyes and our hearts to accept your invitation each and every day to share in the joy, the peace, the love you promise us. In Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Well, an invitation was issued, and there was a great banquet. But last night did not end with gnashing of teeth. It was wonderful. Perhaps you have heard the story of a family that moves into a new town. Large family, move right across the street from the local church. This small church trying to grow is very excited. New big family. And so they call upon this family and find that they are extremely poor. They do not even have decent church clothes to go to church. So the church thinks, let's get our outreach committee. We'll have a clothing drive. And they assemble all these wonderful Sunday-type clothes that they then deliver to the doorstep of this new family with an invitation. Come to our church. We would love to have you as part of our family. That following Sunday, there is much anticipation that this new family is going to enrich the lives of this church. But they don't show up. They wonder what happened. They seemed so friendly when we met them. So the outreach committee goes to the house on Monday, knocks on the door. The father answers the door. And very bluntly, the outreach committee chair says, what happened? We thought we'd see you at our church yesterday. And the father says, well, you know, we really appreciated all those wonderful clothes you gave us. But we put them on and we all looked so good in them, we decided to go to the Episcopal Church. It's really not about clothing that we wear. And besides, if we follow through on the parable, it's really not our job to determine who's fit and who isn't well dressed enough in whatever way, shape, or form. It's God's job to do that. But there is some important things that we can glean from this parable. It begins once more, Jesus spoke the parable. And of course, what we've been hearing these last Sundays, if you don't pick up on the theme, it's kind of hard not to, that there's this theme that's emerged in these parables with the people who were called to work at the beginning of the day, all the way to the end of the day, and the people at the end of the day are envious and all of that, as well as the one we heard just last week, when they go and they end up sending messengers that they kill and maim, and they end up killing the son. Remember all this? And Jesus is addressing this all to the scribes and the Pharisees, the leaders of the day, to help them to understand that they get this all wrong. So now, here's one more that he throws out there. And there is tremendous learning for this, for us in this. But when we link it with that first reading of the worshiping of the golden calf, while the people are waiting for Moses to come down from the mountain, maybe we need to think about where are the idols in our lives. You know, the people who reject the invitation, the first ones, it wasn't that they were doing immoral and bad things. They were just giving too much attention to things other than what should be prioritized. One went to his farm. One said his business was more important. I think in our daily lives, this is the greatest temptation that we have. People come first. Family comes first. I was privileged yesterday to do a funeral celebration for Beverly Rayner, who was a snowbird who attended with us for some time. And just hearing the family tell her stories, here is a lady who got it right. Family and relationships were number one. Now, it came out of, I think, an understanding of her God and her love for her God, and the same it should be for us. If you want to get an idea of perhaps where the idols might be in this regard, map out a week of your life and see where your time is being spent. Now, granted, if you've got a 40-hour-a-week-plus job, you don't have a choice. You're a provider probably for yourself or your family. But it gives us sort of an opportunity with this gospel at least to take a look at that. And maybe if we need to rearrange things, maybe just a little bit to get it right. But above all, when we go beyond the idols, there's this incredible invitation that God has given. Imagine, you know, when I was growing up, seven kids in our family, my dad's brother had eight kids, the other brother had six. I mean, when our family got together, you needed a gymnasium just to have a family reunion, but it was the most wonderful thing. And all the cousins were about the same age. And whenever somebody was getting married, and the invitation came in the mail, it was always so exciting to go out there and get that letter. And you know, you'd open up that outer envelope, and then the inner envelope was the one that would tell you if you got to go. And you always hoped it would say, Mr. and Mrs. Zlatic and family. Yes! Because it was always so much fun. Now, if you think about that, the invitation that God has given to us is for everyone. So God wants us to enjoy this party so much that he's given each of us a personal invitation. And imagine, you enter into this incredible banquet hall. God pulls out the chair for you, invites you to sit down, introduces you to the other people that you might not know, and makes all the connections for you. There's no meatloaf at this banquet. There's no rubber chicken. There's no cold broccoli. It's all your favorite foods. And who knows, they might even choose to serve you the ice cream first. This is the type of invitation God has given to us. And so it becomes important for us to understand, here's a God that loves us this much that he gives this invitation to us. And it's not just to a singular banquet, it's about a feast of life. And even more importantly, it is about the approach to that life. He is talking in the end of this parable about being properly attired. And the guy who didn't have the right clothes on gets thrown out. Now, he's not talking about the proper attire like I mentioned in the funny story to begin this sermon. In the scriptures, whenever they talk about clothing in the religious spiritual sense, it's about interior clothing. It's about attitude. And the most important thing is, what is the attitude we bring to this place and to our lives? There is no doubt that there are going to be conflicts and difficulties in the Christian community. We heard that in Paul's reading today from this continuation of the letter to the community at Philippi. Paul has this incredible relationship with these people. He loves them. And so he starts by talking about these two ladies whose names are virtually impossible to pronounce. Euodia and Syntyche is how we're told to pronounce them. And they were having some disagreement, probably about how they're supposed to pronounce their names. Who knows? But they're disagreeing about something. And what does Paul say? Help these women. He doesn't say, yell at them and tell them to stop. He says, help them. And what does he say, how we can help them? Well, to teach him this. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. Don't worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Now remember, Paul is sending this letter, and he's in prison, probably never going to come out of there alive. And he can write such things like that, rejoice in the Lord always. It's attitude. It's the attitude that we bring that makes all the difference. You know, I can remember with a family with a lot of kids, there were times, and I'm sure I was one of them at one time or another, where dad and mom say, we're going out for dinner and you're all going with us. And there's always one teenager who doesn't want to go. And that can bring down the whole crowd. They don't care what restaurant it is, they're not going to like it. They don't care what the menu is, they're not going to like it. And it can bring down the whole family. It's attitude. There are people, and as I look out, I see a lot of you, there are hundreds of millions of things that have gone wrong and are still going wrong in your lives, but if there's one thing that's going right, that's the thing that you're going to choose to emphasize. And that's what makes all the difference. It's what we choose to put on as our attitude that makes all the difference. We celebrated last night 10 years together. You know, I'm convinced why this place is special. It's because when someone comes through these doors, they are finding a community that has the right attitude, that are saying, we might not be perfect, but we're in love with Jesus Christ, and we want to share that. We want anybody and everybody to get in on this action. That's why this church is healthy. That's why this church continues to thrive. So, look today, perhaps, at the idols in your life. What needs to get re-emphasized to keep the main thing the main thing? And where might there need to be an attitudinal adjustment? Because we want everybody with the right clothing so we can all enjoy the feast. Amen.